Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. So we will have our last session, meditation, reporting, and Q&A. But before we start the Q&A, I got a message from Joyce. She wants me to convey this message to Kayanamitas. Because last Tuesday class, I remember, we did what they call because of her request. We did what she requested. She requested us to, like, after our Tuesday class, maybe invoke the power of wholesomeness, merits, for her husband, Clifford Lim, to recover from his condition so that there will be causes and conditions for her to attend the Dhamma class, because at the moment she is quite tied up there. And I think she must have heard the recording. That's why she got a lot of this joy and gratitude. Then she requested me to convey this message, which she sent through WhatsApp to me early morning, this morning. He said, "Dear Brother Teo, good morning. I woke up this morning wishing to do this. I would like to express my gratitude and appreciation to you and all the Kayamitas for sharing the merits and metta for the well-being of my husband. Many had called or sent text message with kind words. I'm overwhelmed with fellowship of this nature. It's most comforting. Anyway," she said, "don't worry. This is not life-threatening type of illness. The husband, Cliff, is not going through some critical illness. He said just that we are at some unfamiliar ground. Because simple illness, but unfamiliar ground. In time of some unfamiliar shift in our so-called grounded life, be it mass or minute, sometimes very insignificant in reality, we can see the ever-changing and ever-turning of this thing. With mindfulness and peace within, sometimes a glimpse of real peace can be realized, going beyond with no greed, hatred, craving, clinging onto aversion and delusion in our thought and mind. Perfect peace can be realized. I come across a teaching by Ajahn Chah recently, saying, take this teaching and practice with it for the end of suffering. Come to an end of suffering before the end of your life. That way you can be peaceful and at ease." And she said, "Thank you, Brother Teo, for your Dhamma sharing, your patience and your constant repeating. At some point of time, at different level, all this teaching comes together with a deeper understanding and bright clarity." Then she said, "I better stop here, if not I will be known to be too long-winded again." Then he said, "May all Kayanamita practices lead you all to happiness, peace, and clarity and brightness of mind in your cultivation until Nibbana is realized. May your cultivation help you to be free from all, from the wheel of samsara, with gratitude and appreciation, Joyce and family." So this is the message that she wanted me to convey. So we should actually rejoice with her gratitude, expression of gratitude and thank. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we open it up for Q&A and meditation reporting. Make it an informal session. Because most of them has gone back, so only the few of you left. So you can ask anything. Anybody got any meditation reporting or Q&A, you can ask. Nobody. Where's the mic? Oh, underneath my table. Oh, yeah. You can take it from here if you want to ask question. If you don't ask, then what do you want me to speak on? Yes. Pass the mic. Thank you. Father. Just push it all the way out, then it will work.
Brother Teo?
Yeah.
In my walking.
Okay.
Normal walking.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm aware of heartbeat.
Okay.
Is that quite normal?
No, it's not normal. Because your sati has actually become more refined. That's why you have the ability to feel your heartbeat. It's normal. Then what do you do when you can have the ability to feel your heartbeat? What do you do? That's why now you will understand. When you have trained your mind properly, when you have developed the right practice, all this become possible. Possible in the sense that your mind that is already in sati will become more sensitive. Means this mind do not need any object of meditation to become peaceful, to anchor it. You can locate this mind anywhere and it can be aware. It has this refined mindfulness that is sensitive. Otherwise, you cannot feel your heartbeat. Doctor also need to use stethoscope. But you can feel. You don't need a stethoscope because your mind is sensitive. It has silent awareness. To be able to have that type of sensitivity, to be aware of your heartbeat. So when that happens, you just acknowledge with understanding that this is a sign of refinement of mind. Means your sati has become more stable. So you should continue with your training. Then after this, if you can, I suggest you do some lying down meditation. Have you tried lying down on the bed? Very good. You maintain awareness and see whatever. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, it's definitely good sleep. When you maintain mindfulness, there is hardly any thought. Then when you allow it to be, it will sleep. But if you have this ability to train that mind to be aware while in the lying down posture, that type of meditation is very different, like some of the Kayanamitta they can do now. Even now Ingbi can do, Mifong also can do. Then I think Pamasuri also trying to do. Then Song now is an expert in that. He can go into it. And that is the most relaxed posture because you don't cross your leg. you don't block any qi flow. You become very relaxed and very natural. And during that state, your mind is without stress. There is no blockage or any qi flow. You don't even have to relax any part of your body. You just lie down, relax and silent. Then you become very, very different. Your awareness become very different. Then later on, I don't know whether you have experience or not, wherever you locate your mind, you can feel the vibration between your body and your contact. Every part. Every part. Your pillow, then your hand. You can feel the very, very fine vibration between your bodily contact and the bed or pillow or whatever. This is how mindfulness that has been developed can have that sensitivity. And then you realize, hey, this physical body is not what it appears to be. Understand? It's in a state of continuous vibration or flux. You know what is flux? F-L-U-X. Continuous vibration and flux. That's why it's impermanent. There is so much activity going on, understand? Because of the pulse of life, the heartbeat. And this one pump and send the blood to all of your organ, nourish it. That's why wherever there is this blood flow and nourishment, then there is this pulse of life. Every cell is like that, understand? That's why you can feel them. And they are alive. They are not physical form. They are not just four elements. Four elements is a simplified way to describe them. That's why our bodily part, except the bone and all those things, maybe you say solidity or what, but the nerve, the muscle, tendon, everything is attached. Then within the body, there is this flesh, tissue, skin. Then all this, they have cells. And everyone needs oxygen to be alive, except for the fingernail and the dead skin. Fingernail also can grow from inside out, even though it looks like animate. So you start to develop wisdom and understanding of your own self. Just because you have mindfulness, you are able to be aware of all this. Then you realize, hey, what the Buddha said is true. This human body is not me. It's in a state of continuous flux and change. Every moment, every instant, all the cells, they are evolving, they are vibrating. That's why your breath, every moment, it goes in and go out. And every breath is different. Then the heartbeat, the vibration around your tactile, bodily tactile condition, they are all different. So feeling come and go, thought come and go, perception come and go, consciousness come and go. But living beings' problem is they hardly aware of all this. They are lost in thought, preoccupied with the content of consciousness, the thinking, the emotion, the delusion, the sacrality. Then everything like very real. That's why when you think a lot, you cannot be aware, understand? You understand? When you think a lot means what? Your mind is preoccupied with the thinking. When you are preoccupied with the thinking, and you have wrong view, what happens? The wrong view will cause you to stir your mind, react to what you see, what you hear. That's why sankhara is very active inside there. That's why it becomes heedless and not peaceful. So mindfulness is to see all these things. When my mind is preoccupied with all this movement, emotion, reaction, chattering, how can it be peaceful? If it's not peaceful, how can it be aware? That's why you will come to an understanding that meditation is not what people think. It's not about labeling. naming, chattering, using thought. It's about how to develop silence. The moment you are silent, you are already aware. But when you are silent, you are not preoccupied any thought process. Understand? No thought means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety. There is peace. That's why silence will lead you to peace, tranquility, stillness. And you will understand what is going on, whatever that arises and pass away from that form and mind. Because you have sense basis. Upon contact, consciousness come to be. Then through your wrong view or whatever views and conditioning, you input content. If you have wisdom, the content will be wholesome, beautiful, meaningful. And it will not lead to wrong thought, unwholesome thought. That is what meditation is all about. So from there, you develop understanding. If you were to ask this question to other teacher, I don't know what they will tell you. They will tell you, don't go to the heart. Don't listen to your heartbeat. Well, nobody teach like that. The book never write like that. But what's wrong with aware of the heartbeat? You think easier. You have to be very sensitive with the refinement of mindfulness to be able to be aware to that stage. And awareness can be developed through awareness of whatever. That's why the Buddha said there are four foundations. Four foundations means what? There is a kaya. That's why your breathing is part of kaya. Your heartbeat is part of kaya. Your rising and falling is part of kaya. Your physical body movement is part of kaya. And there is the first foundation. Who say cannot be aware of that? That's why the Buddha say when you walk, you're aware. Stand, you're aware. And whatever activity you do, turning, stretching, whatever, you're aware. When you breathe, you're aware. Then when you develop this style of awareness, what you are doing is, you are slowing down the thinking. You are not slowing down the action. What they teach you is the opposite, the other way around. You know what they tell you. Walk slowly. Eat slowly. Slow everything down. Oh. And they appear so logical. You know what analogy they give? I heard one nun mention this. He was talking about daily mindfulness. So after I listened, I say, if that is how people understand mindfulness or daily mindfulness, I say, very difficult for Dhamma to flourish. He said, like the fan, not this style of fan, ceiling fan, whether 3 blade, 4 blade, or 5 blade, he said, when you on it, when it's moving very fast, he said, you cannot see the number of blades. Logical, isn't it? It's like a continuous movement. But when you slow it down, you can start to see, oh, they were blade, actually. But when it moves, it becomes continuous, then you cannot see. Or now you see clearer, is it? So that's why you must slow everything down. You agree, huh? Very logical, isn't it? Logical, huh? Very logical, isn't it? I mean, don't be biased, understand? Don't be biased. Just as a Dhamma practitioner, you reflect. Very logical, isn't it? If the nun or the monk tell you that, very clear, slow down. Oh, so you believe. You slow everything down and you do. But I tell you, I ask you one question, you will answer straight away. That's why when you don't understand, it appears logical and you think it's right. You become gullible. But the moment I explain, the question ceases to be. And you know, this is nothing to do with mindfulness. This is, I don't want to use that word. N-O-N-S-E-N-S-E. To me, it's not relevant. Why? Because mindfulness is about life. Daily mindfulness is about mindfulness in daily life. In life, how can you live life by slowing everything down? That's why I say you do that in the office, you will have a love letter straight away from the boss. thinking, the telephone ring, like that, ringing, intending to listen, then standing, intending to walk. I tell you, somebody told me he went to retreat, morning check-in, afternoon check-out. He said she was doing all those things, and she find herself very unnatural. She used this word, no? Pardon me for using it. He said, I was like a zombie inside there. He said, cannot balance myself. He said, standing there, nothing. He said, intending to walk, then lifting. He said, one leg lifting, one leg trying to balance. He said, like a zombie, almost fall off. And she don't understand. She left. Then later on, people ask her to go retreat. Please, he said, I morning check in, afternoon check out. But this is the same lady that later on meditate with understanding. One sitting, all the 8 jhana come from past life. Oh, you say she doesn't know how to meditate. She can sit for 8 hours. That's why meditation is not what you think. I cannot one la, not for me la. Because you haven't develop the understanding and the condition is not. The moment the condition is there, thing can be very different. So now you understand, if slow only you can be aware, then there is not life. Understand? In life, everything happens so fast. Your sixth sense door, you ask yourself. In the midst of life, when you live life, you are so active in life. Understand? All of your senses are active. Understand? Your seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. They are so active, like when you're driving, when you're working, you think and you do, but you're hardly mindful. And if the senses are so active, because they are just sense bases upon contact, consciousness arise. Every time consciousness arise, you input content, you think, you stir, you develop emotion. Then how are you going to cope with life when you don't have awareness and heedfulness? Your sense or conscience arise so fast, understand not? Every moment of seeing, every moment of hearing, thinking, these 3 doors already make you crazy. Understand not? Without awareness, without mindfulness, you go and slow everything down. After you see already, seeing, you like that live life. I tell you, you dead and gone. That's why when you understand, you will not be gullible anymore, no. But please don't get me wrong, I'm not commenting anything. I'm just sharing with you my understanding. I see it as no meaning. This is not mindfulness at all. Then when I do, I realize mindfulness need not be slow. Mindfulness can be very fast, split second, and yet you can be with it. Well, I experience it. I look at the TV so fast, the picture. The mind got no recording. It just be with the thing. Then the fan, no matter how fast, also, the mind is with it. Understand? Like body and mind as one. Phenomena and mind as one. That's why I know mindfulness got 2 types. One is a general spacious awareness without a center. The other one is specific phenomenal awareness when your mindfulness is with that phenomenon. When it's with that phenomenon, no matter how fast it moves, it's aware. But the mind is already in sati. And the reason why they cannot do it is because they never train their mind until it's in sati, until there is paucity. Now you understand? But they never realize that state. They never realize that this mind can be like that. That's why it cannot be done by them. And to them, they don't understand the real meditation. You cannot develop understanding when you cannot do that meditation. So, like the Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. If you cannot train your mind to be heedful and aware to go beyond thought and beyond mind, the instrument you use, which is thought, will limit you. So, that's why you cannot insight into phenomena to go beyond thought. You will be using thought. And when you use thought, you are active, creating thought. Preoccupied with what the thought tells you. worry about it, reacting to it. Such a mind, how can it be silent? How can it be quiet? How can it be aware? Your mind can only do one thing at a time. Either it's lost in thought thinking and preoccupied with what you think, or it is silent and with the moment to see things as they are. Correct? This is a very obvious understanding, isn't it? If like that also cannot understand, then how you cultivate, how you develop mindfulness and awareness. So that's why Dhamma, for those who understand, is very clear, very simple, nothing complicated. But in the past, I cannot say like that. I say like that, all run out. But the conditioning is so strong. Who are you to say all these things? You are not even a monk. But now it's different because you all can understand. You have the faith and you have developed the understanding to a certain level that allow you to understand. And some of you have penetrated. That's why I say for your case, you try lying down. Initially, it's not easy. Like Pamasuri said, lie down, sleep. But that is part and parcel of training. But you have not done this before. And this is something new. What you must have is an open mind. I investigate, I find out, I got nothing to lose. That's all. Worst case is what? I investigate, doesn't stand up to investigation, then I forget about it. That's all. I only spend a little bit of time. I don't harm anybody. That's all. I don't harm others. That is what Kalama Sutta is all about. Any religious teacher teach you to do something. If it doesn't harm yourself and harm others, then do. Understand? Standard question. That's why I say, you already have the ability to be more mindful. Understand? The next one is go and do the lying down. Give it a try. Understand? Because if you don't try, you can continue to talk. Understand? Like swimming. If you don't go into the pool, you cannot understand what the swimmer tell you. Yeah, they have experience. They say, you very easy one. Your body is already buoyancy, lighter than water. You splash into the water, relax and let go. Oh, that one really let go. Means don't panic, no fear. Understand? Whatever will do, what may, will be. Die also, never mind, like the Buddha. You completely trust. That is trust. Then what happened? It will sink. It will sink, the body go down. Then when you maintain faith and trust, when the up trust, because this buoyancy, there is an up trust. In physics, you will know. Archimedes principle. The buoyancy force is a force, you know or not, will only build up when the body sinks to a certain level. It does not instantaneously build up. Like balloon, you slowly pump in air until it's full. So buoyancy force is also like that. Not until that buoyancy force is higher than the body mass or weight. It cannot push it up on itself. But when you go down, there is a momentum that push it down. Understand? Then your buoyancy is only 0.9 something. Understand? Means slightly lighter than water, not completely lighter. Not like wood. Throw also cannot go in. They are very light. But this one is almost same weight now. So the momentum will take you down. But you will find an equilibrium. That's why the up thrust will push it out when the equilibrium is there. And then when you feel that flotation, you have joy, you have faith, like meditation. When you penetrate the Dhamma, when it stand up to investigation, oh, that's it. No wonder Prabhupada say like that. No wonder Lord Buddha say like that. That's why you must have faith, trust. Then give it a try, investigate. Then really, because body is lighter than water, buoyancy, it will float. Now when it floats, swimming become very easy, correct? What you need to do? You already floating. Swim, move your hand, or kick your leg. That's how people swim. If you are struggling in the water and you don't understand that you can float, it's very difficult to swim. Because you scared drink water. Two strokes went in already. Then after that, wow, scared, fear. going after breathing. Quickly hold on to the railing at the side, or struggle to be at the side of the pool. Oh, then breathe. Where got people swim? That's why when you understand, swimming is very direct, very simple, very straightforward. And your mind is the same. Understand? What did the Buddha say? The blockade analogy, remember? He asked one of the disciples to collect water. First time go milky. Why? The blockade passed by. Disturb, stir, cloudy. Second time also said. Third time, hey, clear. The disciple came back, very happy. He said, I managed to get you clear water because there is nothing to disturb the water, pond of water. Then the Buddha used this to teach the Dhamma. He said, your mind is the same. When there is no stirring, when there is no disturbance, it will become clear on its own. Means what? The natural state of mind before the stirring is peace. It's the true mind, sati, awareness. You don't understand that. You never silent until it happened. That's why you never knew what the true mind is, what that silent mind is, what peace is, what tranquility is, what stillness is, what paucity is. That's why people who don't meditate like that and realize or experience that state, you talk to him, no use, understand? No? He will argue with you. Well, his basis of living life is what? He only use what? Thought. That is the only instrument that he understands. Like the fish in the ocean. You tell the fish, let's say the fish can talk to you. Hey, this world is not about water only, you know. There is land, no. There is air where you can breathe one, no. You can also live life one, no. You know what the fish will tell you? He say you're crazy. Since birth, in the ocean, everything is water. Where got such thing as land on it? So human beings who are heedless and gullible is the same. Because they only understand thought, understand? Then you tell them, hey, there is another way of living life where you are heedful and mindful. You have little or no thought on. He said, you're crazy. Understand? But to him, without thought, there is no life. Understand? All of his life, like I said, he only know one type of mind, the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind, the thinking mind. That's why it's so difficult for a cultivator to understand when you have not developed the wisdom, the understanding, and the experience. You can never understand all this. That's why you cannot develop the meditation. And I don't blame them. That's why they ask me, what do you mean all those who meditate for so long? Some are already for so long, they also don't understand. It's not to say they understand or they don't understand. When you don't have that realization, you can never understand the true Dhamma. Your mind can never have that ability to be in those states. And if you are not able to realize those states, you cannot share with people, understand? You cannot teach. That's why they can only teach what they heard or what they read from the text and what their mind rationalized for you. Then there's another part which is very funny. Last time I got one teacher, he used to discuss with me. Then I laughed. I said, yeah, human beings' problem, you know what is it? Right? They use thought, okay? How do they use thought? He said, they go and read the scripture, Buddhist scripture, sutta, Christian Bible. Then you got other type of holy book. You know what they do or not? They use thought to read. Then they come up with method and technique to meditate. You understand not? How can thought understand the scripture? That's why I say Mahayana teaching is all for the enlightened being. Understand? you use thought, you try to understand the teaching which is beyond thought, there is no way. Then most gullible is one. Oh, they come up with method and technique and give you a series of instructions to again use the thought to cultivate. No? And they hope to go beyond thought. No? You ask yourself, possible or not? I mean, that is what the teaching is all about. A lot of people is like that. Read, use the thinking mind, rationalize, contemplate in the name of that word, contemplate, reflect, they think they did that. Then they think it's like that. Then they write book. They teach. That's why they come out with method and technique. The moment I saw method and technique, I knew what the Buddha meant. It's just a skillful mean to train the mind. It has got nothing to do with the meditation. You agree or not? What is method? What is technique? A series of instructions to do things, like noting rising, falling, aware of the breathing. Got anything to do with Noble Eightfold Path or not? No. It's just to anchor your mind, to train your mind to be aware of the object of meditation, so that it's centered, not heedlessly lost in thought. When you understand it this way, then it's different. Then you don't become gullible. Then you come to understand that the method and technique never define the meditation. That's why they become so gullible. They tell you what now? If you do rising, falling, it's vipassana. If you do anapanasati, it's samatha. So what happened? Anapanasati was the Buddha's method or object of meditation. Not a method, object of meditation. So what the Buddha do becomes samatha. What the Buddha never do, rising, falling, become vipassana. And people can't believe, no? Just because people say the one that do this is an arahant. That's why when you have greed, gullible, oh, he arahant, no. If I follow him, I can also become arahant, no. My last teacher is the best. He said, he told me in plain language, you know. He said, well, his sister is a Buddhist, cultivating Buddhism. Then he went there and he saw her doing all those things. He tell the sister, you know, he said, please wake up. The sister asked him why. He said, why do you do all this? He said, this is tradition. This is what the Buddha do. One meal a day. Don't wear shoe. He said, okay, fair enough. You walk like the Buddha, eat like the Buddha, sleep like the Buddha, do everything like the Buddha. Can you become the Buddha? The Buddha is not about what he do, not the way he walk, the way he do all those things. The Buddha is about his perfection, understand not? The embodiment of his wisdom and virtue. And that is the Dhamma that you must learn from him. Not how he walk, how he eat, and how he... Because 2,000 over years ago, life was like that, tradition was like that, that's why he advised like that. No. You become gullible. No? Whatever the Buddha do, if I follow, I can become the Buddha. No? Got such logic or not? The important Dhamma that he wants you to cultivate, study, and realize, you never do. You are more interested in what? All the form Dhamma that he do. And there are certain monks I was told, go to the airport, plane, don't wear shoe. Because they say, Buddha's time, they don't wear shoe. Then they were not allowed to board the aeroplane. So what you do? You stick to the organa. And then, no need to fly. That's not. Because whether the Buddha do this or don't do this, it's nothing to do with his wisdom and his virtue, understand? He is still a human being, understand? He is still undergoing training, understand? At that time as a monk. That's why he strives on with heedfulness. All those things that he do is unique to him, understand? And he prescribes it because this is good training, understand? That is what the Patimokkha is all about. That's what the monkhood is all about, renunciation and all those things. But don't be gullible, understand? No? Don't just, like there were one very rigid one, traffic light. Red light cannot go, Red light spoil already, also don't want to go. Like Buddha say one, must eat one meal a day. Got gastric already, got so much problem already, some more. No, stick to the gun. It is not to endure with delusion. Endure with understanding. When you are causing your own body to be so weak, you are actually cultivating wrongly. That's why the Buddha in the Noble Eightfold Path, the opening statement is what? To remind cultivator, avoid the two extremes. But he was caught in it, you remember? You went to Thailand, you saw the one mortification one, with all the bones and the... That was what the Buddha was after 5-6 years before enlightenment now. Then he realized this is wrong. This is not the way to cultivate. That's why he went back to eat. And when he went back to eat, the 5 ascetics left him. They say he no more serious. Then later on he become enlightened. That's why he dared to go against the norm, the belief. That's how you investigate. Because you already try so hard, like he said, the most austere practice he already done. Nobody can do more severe than him. And yet he was heading nowhere. That's why he realized this is not the way. And there is a reason why he has to spend 6 years finding out all those things. So that he can teach, he can share. So that he know all these traditions, they are not correct. They are based on belief. They are handed down. Like my mother, he said, hey, last time all do like that. No, we must follow your tradition. And the tradition, sometimes very gullible. At my father's funeral, somebody came, as a friend and relative. Then my parents' relative, same generation, and there was one generation higher, they were there. Then this relative, he was actually like trying to help out, which is very good, very kind of him. But the problem is, he hold on to tradition and he deluded now. You know what he tell these people? No? These people come, being very sincere, my father's friend. He said, how many joystick must we like? Very simple question. Yeah. What is the answer? How many joystick must we like? Why two? Somebody suggest 3. Why 2? So you believe? That's why handed down. My dear relative, lucky gullible. Somebody suggest 3. Right? Most triple gem, everything 3. Buddhist. Wow, he was so rude though. He stopped the guy though. He said, no, you have been disrespectful. You cannot like 3. He said, only the husband died. The wife still around. Like 1. He said, wow, like that. Like 2 means 2 die. Like 3 means 3 die. I say, where got such theory you are in life? That's why I told that relative, I said, don't worry, I will talk to them. I said, you got the heart to come and pay respect. I'm very honored. I'm full of joy, and I rejoice with your wholesomeness. You can like any number of joystick. As long as you feel good, that is what you should do. You compare the two. One is logical. One die, no, must like one. Otherwise, bad omen. Like two die. like that also can. Like that, like 3. Second wife also die. Where got such logic one? That's why when you understand, you cease to be gullible, you cease to be deluded. And all these are very simple understanding. You don't need to have fantastic wisdom to understand all this. The problem living beings cannot have this understanding is because they choose to believe out of fear. They dare not go against tradition. They dare not do things that they are not sure. That's why those people can actually deceive you and make you spend more money during funeral. the Lamondo and other things. Hey, you don't do this type of chanting. One night 4,000, that one. You want better one, you pay 8,000, 10,000. Otherwise, go to eternal hell, suffer like mad. You're not scared he come back and haunt you. Then he said, you don't burn paper house and all those things. They down there, miserable. They will come and disturb you. Then you go and buy paper house everything. The best was my daughter. She worked for Maxis. She saw the paper house. Well, my mother wanted it. I said, you want, I will order for you. Then after that, my mother understand. Then he saw the paper house. Then he saw, got car, got driver, got handphone. I got maid also. Then my daughter asked a very good question. You mean like that burn go down, can receive? Then she said, down there got SIM card, man. Down there got network, man. Then I told my mother lagi best. I said, if this is true, don't worry already. No need too good already. When you die, burn everything. So easy to burn, isn't it? Then if everybody can get so much wealth, then why you want to do good? Why you want to be kind? So if you have the understanding, you won't be gullible. So life is very simple when you keep it simple. When you have fear of tradition, fear of what people tell you, and you don't want to investigate, your life become complicated. Then simple thing become very complicated. Then you keep on arguing. Then you cannot sleep, fear. Just now I put two joysticks, how, man? Tomorrow my parents die again. Then you got this pantang and fear. Then during the marriage, also lucky best, I remember. The lady, you all call one Muyana. Muyana, the one that helped you. Tai Kam Che. In front of my mother, tell me why. Well, when I marry my wife, he said, you go out of your house. First thing you do, don't step on the moon kwang. The moment she mentioned that, I purposely step. Then she was so panicky, Then my mother also, don't do this. I told my mother, this is superstition. I have stepped many times. Well, the real one is law of karma, nothing to do with what I step. If what I step can make my life miserable, then the nature's law is something wrong. That's why you must have wisdom and understanding there to make a difference to your life. I say, it's your heart. When your heart have goodness, there is this nature's law. You reap what you sow. That is more important. And you know how I explained to my mother, he believed feng shui, He said, don't play a fool, all the while, one generation after, all feng shui, feng shui, feng shui. I say, very good, very simple. Now I ask you one question, I said, you give birth to how many children? He gave birth to 9 children. Then I say, you got how many brother and sister? He said he got 4. 3 in China. 4 in China. She alone came over. I say, you came over, good life or not? Yeah, very good life. Your brother and sister how? Suffer like mad. Is it miserable? I say, same feng shui. Your grandparent in China, same feng shui. Then he look at me. Yeah. How come like that? I say, your good karma. Then I say, the other one is, you give birth to 9 brother and sister, your sibling. Okay, very simple. Out of these 9, we are all so different. You know my family, you don't believe. Some very tall, some very short. Some full of hair, some no hair. Some can study very well, some totally cannot study. Standard 6 also kuya, from 3 also kuya. Then some very spiritual, some totally non-spiritual. How you account? I say, same parents, same gene, same environment, same house, same, everything is the same. Why like that? Then my mother look at me. Yeah. How come you know how to study? How come you're so different from the rest? Then she say one thing. No wonder when you are young, when I give birth to you, you are the easiest to look after. You never cry one. When I want to pee pee, he say, I just, then she know it. Then she put me on the yalama. I know how to kick my leg. No need people to come and move it. And she recall those incidents. She said, yeah, you are very different. You are very quiet one. Very easy to take care of you. Because it comes with that parami. That's why when I was young, until 6 years old, I got no thought. My mind blank, full of awareness. And that time I don't know. But I can remember because I cannot recall anything. 1 year old to 6 years old. I cannot recall anything. But I saw my photo, 2 years old, 3 years old, which my father took at the studio. I saw, wow, so innocent. That mind so beautiful. We are not now with the mindfulness that when I know how to see. Then I realized, that's why I know law of karma. I know all this is not what people believe or say or tradition. It's based on investigation and understanding from my life, from my parents, my brothers and sisters. All this I learned. So now you understand. Yeah? So don't be gullible. Be brave to investigate. Have an open mind. Don't allow tradition to panic you. Everybody almost. I should say 90%. They're very scared on a funeral time. The elders will have a lot of say. No, 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 you cannot do like that. How can you do this to your parent? Then what you do? You dare not argue. You don't have the understanding. You don't have the fact. And during my mother's funeral, my father's funeral, there was another incident apart from the joystick one. One generation higher one, my mother's elder, higher generation, he came and talked to my mother. No? He said, why your children all like that one? He said, this is a funeral. No? Funeral doesn't look like funeral at all. Nobody cry one. Nobody lament one. There is no filial piety. No? Then he said, you like that, household, I said, no filial piety. He said, this is very bad, no. My mother started to cry. We are tradition, he heard before. We are to them in China, if you are filial piety, you must cry, you know. Oh, then after that, I didn't know I was with my classmate outside. We were all like happy for our father. Well, he lived until a good old age. And he has done a lot of good things that he wants to do, go back to China, help all the brothers, sisters, the relatives. Then he is a very good father. He is so responsible. He do his duty very well. He sacrificed so much for us. Then I told my mother, you know, I said, it should be an occasion for joy. Do you think father want to see us like that or not? Crying over what? You should be happy for him. He has fulfilled. Like my father used to tell me, this is really life, because the year before he passed away, we took him to this Thailand resort. I forgot the name already. It's somewhere in Thailand there. I forgot the place already. It's a very beautiful resort. Hakiao resort. Then that year, I remember my father was already on wheelchair because he's diabetic. Then he told me, he held my hand. He said, this is really, really good life. He said, I have done what I need to do, what I aspire to do. And now I can be at the resort, despite on the wheelchair with all my children. Because that year, nine family all went with all my children, my daughter-in-law, son-in-law. Yeah, la. It's the daughter-in-law there. Why, father and daughter-in-law? Ayo, I'm describing my father. Son-in-law. 你听错。 Well, my father told me, I used that word, isn't it? He was so happy and full of joy because I have all my children and my daughter-in-law. That time, I don't know, got son-in-law, no, I forgot. I think God also. One of my sister got children. My grandchildren, is there so many, you know. Then he got grandchildren, some more, no? Already fourth or fifth generation. No? That's why he said, she is very contented with life already. So when my mother cried, my brother came and told me, I was with my classmate outside. Then you know what happened. I told my brother, you don't worry, I will go and talk to her. But she trusts me, she has faith in me. I went in, I held her hand, and I said, don't worry, mom, why are you crying? Oh, then he relayed the story. He said, the elder said, like that. Then she keep on crying. Then my brother told me, my mother asked my brother and sister all to cry, no, with the joystick all passed to them, no, you must cry. I held my mother's hand, no. My mother was still crying, no, because of tradition, the fear. Then I held her hand. I said, okay. Now are you okay? Now you listen to her. The elder told you all these things. Now can you spare me a few minutes? You listen to me. I said, very simple. I held her hand. I said, what is filial piety? Is it after father died, then only cry and lament? That is filial piety. To me, that is to show people. That is not filial piety. To me, when father is still around, I care for him. I take him around and provide for him and do everything for him. That is real filial piety. Oh, then she suddenly no more crying. No. He said, yeah. Then after that, she listened. I said, you remember or not? A few months back, yeah, because he passed away on the 28th July, 2004, I remember, my daughter's birthday. Chinese New Year was January or February, I forgot, 7 months ago. I said, you remember or not, father, when he was at the resort, together with me, you and my elder brother, he held our hand, and what did he tell you? Oh, then straight away she starts to smile at you. Oh, he was so happy. he said, all the children, I said, this is real filial piety and joy. Dad has lived a beautiful life. Even such a person can go down to hell, like the Chai Kho tell her. I said, they themselves may go down, but father will never go down. He has done his duty so well. Then my mother start to like recover, no. Then I say, you look at father, he has done his duty so well. He sacrificed for all of us. He went back to China, helped so many people, the relative, everything. You think he is not happy? If he is happy, do you think after he passed away, he like to see us crying and lamenting and become so sorrowful over his passing away? You know? He already said he already very happy. And that is real joy in life. So I say, this is what filial piety is all about. When they are still around, love them, provide for them, care for them, and do what you can for them. Don't wait until they pass away, then try to cry and show people. And you know what they call that, tears or not? Huh? Crocodile tears. Crocodile very good at doing this. Pretend to cry. You go near and see what happens. They will just eat you. So later on, I continued some more. No? I told my mother, I said, now you understand, I explain to you further. You want to follow what the elders say or not? Then he asked me, why you ask, is it? Yeah, they are the elders, no? They know the rules, no? They know tradition. No? I say, very simple, because they have been doing that. You look at their life. Their children, their grandchildren, what happened? A lot of them drug addict and involved with crime and all things, not educated, suffer, miserable, poor. I say, you follow her lah. Then all the children become like that. I say, nine of your children all become so successful, so happy, so prosperous. Dad was so proud of them. Even my youngest brother, right off already one, also come back to become a jewel. My mother used to tell me, when my youngest brother every time give them problem, you see, if only my youngest son can understand and become like 10% of me, she said she is the happiest mother in this world. She told me that. And not only 10%, I turn him around, I just talk to him on one Chinese New Year. I say black and white, very simple one. You continue with this type of life, the end result you know, because you never change. When father no more around, your life is gone. But if you want to change before father no more, then we can help you. And you can have good life. Then he saw the light, you know. At first, he don't believe, you know, he said, you all look down upon me. Nobody respect me. Because to him, he's very lazy one. Join the gangster and all those things. Then never study one. Then in the school, whack the disciplinary teacher. You know, not whack teacher, you know, whack disciplinary teacher until sacked from the school. You know. Then send down to SS2. My wife, you know. Oh, like that one, you know. Hardcore. You know. How to turn around? I just talk to him and very simple. Then he said, okay, if that is the case, I will give it a try. I say, I only need you to commit that you are sincere and you want to change. That's it. Everything will be for you. Then when he turned around, my mother was so happy. My father was so happy. Because I told him, if you continue like that, mother worry for you, father worry for you. Is that what you want? Then you think everybody look down upon you. It's your perception. But if you decide to change for the better, what will happen? Your life change. You have joy. You have happiness. Mother also happy. Father also happy. Is that what you want? Or you prefer to continue to be lazy, join the gangster and depend on father all the time? I just talk like that. No? I say, every New Year come back, I never see you. Why? You take ang pao, you go gamble. And he lost most of the time because karma, no good. Then later on, when I start to share with him and develop the understanding of the Dhamma, he changed completely and he became so beautiful and so different. Then I asked him to go Ciji because I don't know Mandarin. I said, I cannot teach you. You go Ciji. Oh, then he became so strong a supporter of Ciji and he learned so much thing from Ciji. Then he called me out to learn the Dhamma. Then he used to tell my mother last time, you know. My mother always tell him, you can be 10% like second brother, I will be the happiest person in this, mother in this world. You know what he told my mother? He said, if everybody like, he called Erke, second brother, then the whole world will be full of engineers. So he don't believe one. Then my mother said, you always talk like that one. You're not serious. Then later on, after he changed, he turned around. Then he tell my mother different. No? He said, oh, you all the while are so stupid. No? Got a brother so knowledgeable, so much understanding, so good. We never know how to talk to him and learn from him. No? He tell my mother that. And my mother was full of joy. That's how he turned around. He got married and he became very successful. When my mother heard about how the elder, the family like that, he straight away tell me, we don't follow them. He said, next time my time, no more paper house. Go Buddhist way. See? That's how you can make them understand, break tradition. Otherwise, you cannot just argue with them. They need understanding. Like my mother also can understand means nobody cannot understand. Correct? What I explain is very simple. I don't need Dhamma, profound Dhamma, to explain to her. It's based on understanding. The moment you understand, you can explain. Because this is nature's law, the way things are. That's why I study Dhamma differently. I study from life itself. Understand? I don't look for book. No. What did the book say? What did the Buddha say? Got such problem. How to talk to mother? You go and check the scripture. Or then you go and quote Ananda say, thus have I heard. Then you go and talk the scripture, not language. I tell you, she won't understand a single word. So you cannot I saw a lot of buddhis, sometimes very gullible. No? He tried to train the child, no? Or the kid. Told you to be mindful, you don't want to be mindful. And they themselves don't know what mindfulness is. Scold the kid. Then, if you continue like that, I will ground you. I will send you to the temple. I will send you, register you for a priest. I tell you, you create more conflict. And this is real life, you know. From HJBA, you know, one of the Kayamita earlier on, they don't have such understanding. Then later came and see me, then I explained. I said, brother, how come this type of Dhamma nobody teach you? He told me that. Yeah, nobody explained to her that way. There were many things, but I got no time to explain and go into details. So, before we end, almost 5 or 6 more minutes. We already share merit, transfer merit, ask for forgiveness. So no more closing ceremony. We just maybe have a last question. If you got any more question, you can still ask. One more. Anything that you want to know. Did I answer your question? Then how come I go until like that? So many things come out. Anybody ask question apart from her? Nobody. Then how did I go into all this? Gullible. Well, from gullible, everything come. Dhamma come. So now you have the understanding. You can laugh about it as well. Laugh. Because when you are still not clear, it's like that. Understand? Or? That's why I give you so many examples earlier on in there. Before you understand, you think the question is very logical. Like that morning. What's the difference between feeling and thought? Oh, this type of question all people can ask. But when you don't understand, it's a real question. Because they cannot differentiate it. Understand? Or? When you say feel, they say, what do you mean, feel? Isn't that thinking that in the blue book, that Eddie, isn't that thinking? But to him, it's thinking. Understand? I say, why you call it thinking? Because when you feel, you're supposed to silence your mind and feel when you put your hand on the floor. Understand? But the trouble with you is, the moment you perceive your hand, you think. Understand? Then you straight away hot and cold. You never feel. That's why. So difficult to understand. Yeah, he said, isn't that a thought? Hot or cold? It's a thought, isn't it? With that sensation, no word on it. No description on it. Why can't you just silent? What is that? It's just a sensation, no word on it. But the moment you labor, it's a thought. That's why you cannot differentiate. Isn't it a thought? He asked, no. And likewise, our friend here also asked. They cannot differentiate. When you are silent, you don't have thought. Then you can feel. You can be aware. You can be sensitive. You try to be silent. You're never silent. That's why this question comes. So with that, maybe we shall end this retreat. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Maybe we will do a very quick transfer merit and sharing of merits before we leave this place. Then once again, I'd like to thank all those who have helped out in one way or another. Then I rejoice with all your wholesomeness to stay back, to develop the cultivation, to maintain the faith and all those things. Okay, now we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then we will make aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to the departed one and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we straightway go to our aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones.
Appreciation, we got a few by saying several three times for his patient and very kind and compassionate of Buddha Dharma, which he shared with us.
I also rejoice with your faith and your wholesomeness. So as long as you have faith, sincere, diligent, you don't worry, the way will be there. But you have to strive on with heedfulness. Okay. We have to help clean up a bit. Make sure we clear everything. Then somebody help to rub the whiteboard. Have you all taken the photo? Better take photo. Otherwise, you will miss the important Dhamma. Take back. Sadhu. This one is Sui Anwana. This two.